We're up to the last part of Torah Yud Tes in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 62, the right-hand column, about an eighth of the way down the page, the paragraph that begins, Ubein Loimed Basefer. Now we're up to the part where Rav Nosson Zal is summarizing and reviewing certain points in the chapter on Likutei Moran. We finished the chapter on Likutei Moran, and these are like appendixes, additional items that are being mentioned related to this Torah on Likutei Moran. If you recall, the main gist of this Torah on Likutei Moran was talking about the tikkun of Kedusha, and in terms of Kedusha, we were referring either to the Bris Kodesh or to Lashon Kodesh, and we showed how the main tikkun of Lashon Kodesh is dependent on the tikkun of Targum. Targum is something that's sort of in between Kodesh and Chol. And Rabbeinu Zal explained how in order to bring a tikkun to the Kedusha, you have to be able to be misaking that in-between item, that item that's sort of in the middle. In the Klipos, it's called Klipas Noiga, that's in between the Kedusha, versus the three Klipos that are considered to be Ra Legamri, Tome Legamri. We mentioned the example of Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week, and the in-between area is Bein Hashmoshos, like right when Chol is being converted to Shabbos. That represents this Klipas Noiga. That's a time when the Noiga is able to be Nichlal into the Kedusha. And Rabbeinu Zal also discussed the concept of the Eitz HaChaim, representing Kodesh, versus the Eitz HaDas Toivorah, which represents this noiga, this mix of good and bad, which in order to bring a tikkun to the Eitz HaChaim, to the Kedusha, you have to be able to be mesaking the Toivorah. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about tikkun abris, that the Iker tikkun abris is totally in being mesaking Targum, which in the case of tikkun abris related to the Tardemo, the sleep of a person, being able to be so pure during the day that in watching one's mind and one's eyes and one's actions, so that even at nighttime, which is keneged this klipas noiga, tardemo is bigimatria targum, the Arizal said, even at that time, the sotan should not be able to have an achiza in the person in mikra laila rachmona litzlan or other types of pigomin. And Rabbeinu Zal began the Torah Likutei Moran in discussing that the difference between a person who hears Divrei Torah direct from a tzaddik versus hearing it not from the tzaddik directly, hearing it second hand or third hand or learning it from a sefer. And he explained during this Torah Likutei Moran that when a person hears it from the tzaddik, by having been misakein Loshon Kodesh Bishlemos, has been misakein his lev and thereby his ponim to such an extent where by somebody just looking at his face alone, that alone shines a charotin to the person, and it makes the person see all of his chesroinos and correct himself. So obviously, in hearing Divrei Torah directly from him versus hearing it from somebody who hasn't been misaking all of this, there's certainly going to be a difference. That was one reason Rabbeinu Zal gave. And then Rabbeinu Zal gave the second reason of Oisei Dvoroi, Giboirei Koyach, Oisei Dvoroi, Lishmoya Bekol Dvoroi. That the tzaddik actually creates the dibur of Hashem. He's misaking the dibur of Hashem in a sense. And therefore he is Lishmoya Bekol Dvoroi. He hears the word of Hashem direct from Hashem. And each time it goes down a madrega, it definitely makes a difference. It weakens it. It brings it down to a lower level in being effective to the person that's hearing it. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Ubein loymed basefer l'shemei mipi achochom yesh chiluk gadol biyoser." One of the statements that Rabbeinu Zal made in this Torah was that between learning from a sefer, reading the book, versus hearing divrei Torah from the mouth of the chochom directly, there's a very big difference, even a greater difference than hearing it from a person who heard it from the tzaddik versus hearing it directly from the tzaddik. Rav Nosson Zal says now, ki sefer hu rak lezikoroin, because when something is written down, it's being written down only so that you can remember it. Kemoy shekosev, as the pasuk says, ksoiv zois zikoroin basefer. When Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave him instructions regarding the milchoma with Amalek, that this should be documented, this should be written down for historical purposes, Hashem said, write it down, zikoroin, so that you'll remember.
Kemoi she'onu and Rabbi Nazal says v'hazikoroin hu bekoya hamedame. Zikoroin is something that exists not only by human beings, but even by lower levels of creation, which don't see perfectly clearly, but rather they have koya hamedame, which means their vision is not perfectly clear, but rather they're capable of comparing things to others. Meaning, for example, we say that animals are colorblind, implying that their power of vision is not as clear as that of a human being. And this applies to many animals who are known to have a much smaller level, a much lower level of vision than human beings. So Rabbi Nazal says, Zikoroin, the concept of memory, is something that's not so choshuv, in the sense, in the respect that we find that zikoroin exists even b'koya hamedame, kigam behemo yesh lo zikoroin, because Rabbi Nazal says we find that even animals remember, kemoishonu royim, as we see, shegam behemo zoicheres shebemokoin ze noshcho kelev v'hi boirachas mishom. An animal remembers that it got bitten by a dog in a certain place, and it knows when it goes by that place to be afraid, to watch out. Pavlov's theory, the concept where they train an animal to know that when it hears a certain bell, it knows to come running. How? Because it remembers that it was shown a few times that when it heard the bell, it was an indication that the animal was going to be given food. So now whenever the animal hears the bell, it remembers that the bell represented something good to it, and it comes running. So we see that zikoroin even exists, b'koya hamedame, even on the level of behema. V'alkein omer azal, this is why the Gemara says, dvorim shebal peh yatorishoy lo'imram b'chsav, that certain things which were given over bal peh, you're not allowed to write it down. What does that Gemara imply? That bal peh is a higher madrega. In other words, this item which was given bal peh on a higher level, just like we say, for example, you're not allowed to sell a shul to use the money to buy a regular house or something like that, because malin bakodesh, in kedusha, you're only allowed to elevate something, you're not allowed to bring it down a level. You're allowed to raise kedusha, not to bring it down. So here, if the Gemara says dvorim shebal peh iatorishoy lechosvon, it would seem to imply that obviously bal peh is a higher level, Bichsav is a lower level, and therefore, since this item was given over a bal peh in the higher realm, you are not allowed to lower it, bring it down by writing it down. This is what Rabbi Nazal said. Rab Nosson Zal writes, "V'yesh dvorim begav." However, this requires understanding and investigation. It's not so simple. Ki be'emes ze ha-mikro k'soiv zoi zikoroin ba-sefer hanal ne'mar al Torah she-bichsav she-tzrichin dafko le-koisvo. This posuk is not written as a put-down fiksiva. On the contrary, this posuk is written to give us instructions regarding the Torah she-bichsav, that bedafke Torah she-bichsav, you're not allowed to say bal-peh. You're not allowed to say, in other words, psukim, you're not supposed to read by heart. You're supposed to read it inside. The fact that Torah Shebichsav, Bedavka, is supposed to be written down. You're not supposed to, a balkoire is not supposed to read by heart. He must be looking at the words when he's reading it. Seeming to imply that it's not from, this posik is not implying a lack of chashivus tiksiva. On the contrary, the respect for Torah Shebichsav is Bedavka, that it should be written down. Rab Nosson Zal says, Kol ze shomati mipiv hakodosh bo'ez shekosafti lefonov Torah hanal v'leibir inyan ze heitev. This item was a discussion that I had with Rabbi Nazal at the time that I was writing over this shir in front of Rabbi Nazal. This was brought up. Rabbi Nazal mentioned it, and he mentioned that this is sort of a dilemma, and he didn't want to discuss it further. He left it as an open item, but seeming to imply that on one hand there is a hint to the fact that certain items which are said bal peh, to write them down would be lowering them and you're not allowed to. For example, we know that certain secrets of Torah were not permitted to be written down, committed to writing. They were passed over from generation to generation and they weren't allowed to write them down because writing them down, in a sense, is being megashemit. When it's being given over orally,
It's more in spiritual form. It's words. It's not tangible. When it's being committed to writing, that's a concept of a tzimtzum of the Or. We're being metzamtzim the Or, which means a concept of lowering it, bringing it down. Just as the Gemara uses the example of a rabbi teaching a student. In order for a rabbi to teach a student, he has to be able to be metzamtzim, his sechel. Obviously, the sechel of the student is not equal to the student of the rabbi. So it's assumed that the rabbi has to lower and confine and constrict his wisdom to present it on a level where it's digestible by the student. And the Gemara compares that to writing. The Gemara says that just as you're not allowed to write a Sefer Torah on the oir of a behemoth tamei, so too a rabbi is not allowed to teach Torah to a Talmud Sheinoi Hogun. Just as you're not allowed to write Sefer Torah on parchment of a treif animal, in a sense, so too a rabbi is not allowed to teach a treif student. And Rabbein Azal brings later in a turn to Imran that we see that the concept of a rabbi teaching a student is a concept of writing. He's writing his words on the heart of the Talmud. Kosvom al luach libecha. So again, we see this concept of ksiva being a concept of bringing it down a level. You're being mitzamtzimit and bringing it down. Versus when it's in a person's mind or it's only in words, then it's less tangible. In a sense, it's a higher level. Question. This item Rabbein Azal left open for now. In other words, how is it that certain items that are written down, you're bedafka not supposed to read bal peh? Obviously, there's an explanation to it.
The desire of Hashem to bring things down.
Yes and no. Sometimes yes. Sometimes it's a mitzvah. Sometimes tzaddikim got punished very severely, very harshly, for giving over certain secrets that they weren't supposed to. The Arizal, who was sent to the world, he told Reb Chaim Vitalzal that Hashem told him clearly that his main mission in the world, the main reason why he existed, was to teach Reb Chaim Vitalzal. That was his main mission in life. And yet, there were certain secrets which he wasn't supposed to give over, which when he was pressed by Reb Chaim Vitalzal, and in a sense he was forced to tell him, he got punished very severely for it. Why? What do you mean? If he knows it, what's so bad about telling it to somebody else? The answer is that's bringing it down. Certain things, it's a mitzvah, where the kavod of Hashem is dafka. When you bring Hashem's kavod down, the Arizal explains the mitzvah of hadlokas near Chanukah. That we say, bichlal, as a rule, the Shechina never went down below Asara Tvachim. Even though we say, O Malchusoi Bakoil Mosholo, that Kaviochel, Hashem's Malchus, is even B'modor HaKlipois, even by the Tumah, the Pasuk says, Malachi, B'chol Mokoim Muktor U'mugosh L'shmi, that even in the Bote Avodah Zorah, when they're bringing Korbonos on their Mizbeachs, they think they're giving it to Avodah Zorah. But since the Avodah Zorah is nothing, so indirectly it's going to Hashem anyway, on the bank shot. And yet, the Gemara does make a statement that even on Har Sinai, the Shechina maintained a certain distance. It wouldn't go below a certain point. And it's only on Chanukah is considered to be one of the Chidushim of Yiddishkeit, that Chanukah, in a certain respect, is higher than Ner Shabbos. In the fact that the Ner Shabbos, the Kiddushah is Kviya V'Kaimah, it's in its place. Chanukah, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, is Bedavka Lemato Mi'asorot Vochim. To show that we're bringing, on Chanukah, we're given the right to bring the Shekhinah way, way down, lower than it normally is willing or able to come down. So we see that sometimes it's misukan, sometimes it's not the right thing. Just like we say in a Beis HaKiseh, a person's not allowed to wear tefillin. Why? If tefillin is kodosh, if I bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh, obviously the tefillin will be mekadesh the Beis HaKiseh. Why can't I bring it in? The answer is because that Kiddusha is not permitted to be brought into that kind of tzimtzum. Why tzitzis, yes. Why tzitzis, I'm allowed to wear tzitzis into a bathroom, and tefillin, no. Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos that tzitzis, the light of tzitzis, corresponds to the keser, the light of the crown of Hashem, which is so high a level of light that light can enter into the mokoyim of complete tumah and not be harmed in any way. Just like the Gemara says, when it came to Mitzrayim, Hashem said he wouldn't send a malach into there, ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy sorof, ani v'loy acher. Why? Because Mitzrayim represented such a super tumah that for a malach to go in there, the malach would be harmed in the process, and it was only a certain very high level light of Hashem that was able to go into Mitzrayim to bail out the Yidden. So too, Rav Nosson Zal explains that tzitzis, in a certain respect, represents a higher kedusha than tefillin, and that's why you're allowed to bring tzitzis into the bathroom, because tzitzis is made from tzemer. Tzemer represents the keser, the whiteness, that latnunis, when Hashem revealed Himself to the Yidden on Shavuos, kizokein molei rachmim, that represents this keser, atiko kadisha, the zokein dikdusha, that high level of chesed, chesed elyon, rachmim gedolim, that can even enter into a base, into mokoim metunof, and not be harmed in any way. So it's an extraordinary explanation that Rav Nosson Zal gives in Likutei Halachos. So you see that not always is it assumed that it's a mitzvah to bring the Kedusha down. Sometimes you could do damage. Just like not always is a Jew permitted to tell certain things. If you tell a Jew, the Gemara says that if you know a Jew who, if you tell him to do a certain mitzvah, he won't do it, better not to tell him. Better he should be a shoigeg than be a mezid. What do you mean? This is what we mean, that for him, that represents a light that's too bright for him. It can't be brought to his level yet. Next, Rav Nosson Zal says that based on what we learned in this chapter in Likutei Moran, v'zeh soid ma'ashom razal, odom arishoin moshuch ba'or lo soy hoyo, odom arishoin b'loshen aramis siper. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses odom arishoin, and it makes two statements right next to each other, which seem, it would seem to have no connection. And based on this chapter on Likutei Moran, we see that it has a very serious connection. The Gemara says that Odom Arishoin was moshuch be'orlosoi, he was steeped in Orla. The Marsha Zal explains that even though we don't see Mila mentioned at all in the Torah related to Odom Arishoin, and therefore I believe he quotes a Medrash that says that Odom Arishoin was noilad mohul, but still, the Gemara makes a statement that even after he was noilad mohul, after that he was moshuch ba'or losoi, meaning that he fell, he was poigem in a sense in the orla. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says right close by, in other words, he was noilad mohul, meaning he didn't require a bris mila.
But does Rashi moshuch ba'or losoi mean the kavanah? Like he wanted to be...
It implies that there was a pigam. That he was steeped in this item, in Orla.
Even though physically he wasn't.
Physically, that piece of flesh was not pleasant, but the concept of a test of Tikkun HaBris.
He was still steeped.
Exactly.
In other words, like the meal that he had from birth wasn't effective as the meal that we go to missing.
No, not sure. That's not true. What you're saying is not true. He was noilad mohul physically, just like, in other words, in a sense, which what we have after 8 days, when the mohul comes along and makes a bris mila. However, just as we, after 8 days, still have a nisoyon of tikkun abris, Odom Rishon had this nisoyon also, in a sense, and the Gemara implies that he was moshuch bar losoy. It's brought, for example, that during the 130 years after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he accepted upon himself an abstention, a separation, a prisha from Chava for a period of 130 years. And it's 130 years. And the Gemara says that during those 130 years, there were Shedin and Ruchos that were Mechamim him, implying as if, in a sense, there was a certain aspect of this Moshuch Bar Losoi. That's one statement in the Gemara. And right next to that, another rabbi in the Gemara says, Odom Rishon Boloshna Ramis Siper. What does one have to do with the other? And Rav Nosson Zal says, understand this very well, because in this chapter, Likutei Moran, we see that these two are one and the same. Ki al yedei loshen aramis shehu loshen targum moshcha v'yonko ha'orlo shehu ra ha'koilel mi loshen ha'koidesh mi bris ha'koidesh kanal. Because it's bedafka, through loshen aramis, which means targum, through that, Moshcha, it says, Moshuch ba'or losoi hoyo. It means the Orla, which represents the Ra Gomor, was able to be Moshech, which means to be Yoinek from the Kedusha, from the Bris Kodesh, via Aramis, via Lushan Targum, which means the Orla, which represents the Ra HaKoylel. The word the Orla has the word Ra in it, the Meforshim say. So Orla represents the Ra Gomur. The Orla was able to be Moshech from him through the fact that he was associated with Targum. Targum is Toivora, it's Noiga. That gives a person, that gives the Klipos access to the total Kedusha. They can only come in via this intermediary. This is why the Gemara says that he spoke Belosh Naramis, and therefore we could understand how he was Moshech Borolosu. Ayin Shom Hetev, look in the Gemara clearly and you'll see the connection to this. Ki ikar pigam habris shehu ra hakoylel, the main concept of pigam habris, which is called the ra hakoylel, the evil that's koylel all other types of evil, because the word bris is bigimatria 613 with the koylel, the word bris with the koylel is bigimatria 613 to show that this is a klolius of the whole Torah. Bechinas l'shoinoi so'amim, this pigama bris, which corresponds to the concept of the 70 nations, the languages of the 70 nations, yinikosom al yedei loshen targum, their yinika from the kedusha is via this intermediary called loshen targum, shehu bechinas noiga, which is this in-between item, shal yedei ze heim oilen linak mi loshen ha-kodesh mi bris kodesh kanal, it's through targum that the Sotan, the Tumo, the Ra Gomor, is Oile to be Yoinek from Loshen Kodesh, from Bris Kodesh. Now we know that these two, we mentioned before, just as a reminder, these two go together. The mouth and the Bris area are both synonymous. The Arizal explains how the Sphirois work, the Midos of Hashem, how they correspond to the different parts of the body. The Sphirois Netzach and Hoid represent the right thigh and the left thigh, and Yesoid represents the Bris Kodesh. The Arizal says that the 10 Sphirois also appear in the head alone, on a higher level. And in that case, Netzach and Hoid represent the lips, the upper lip and the lower lip. The Yesoid, the Bris Kodesh, is the tongue. And that's why it's called in the Gemara Bris Haloshoin. This concept of bris haloshein, that the tongue, bris krusol esposayim, knows that the tongue is also called a bris kodesh. And according, the access to loshen kodesh is dependent on tikkun habris. Both of these items go together. What determines how much a person is able to speak diburim of kedusha, how much the person is shomer habris. Ki ikar hamiskalo vahanisoyoin vahabchiro hu bebechinas noiga shu bebechinas targum. Because the main judgment, the main measurement, the main scale of measure, and the main testing ground, and the main concept of bechira, klapia yid, is in this area of noiga, this hazy area, this in-between area. Shehu bechinas targum, ki noiga nikro tikla. Because we know that one of the nicknames in the Sifrei Kabbalah for noiga, it's called tikla. And tikla, Rabbi Nezal says here, is miloshin miskalo, which means mishkal. That's the main measuring. When we want to measure a person to see where he's at, the main measurement, the main scale of measurement is in this area of noiga, this intermediate area. Now, it's to say that a person is ra gomor, that most Jews basically aren't holding by that. It's in this area of noiga, the in-between areas, the shigyonos, the shoigegs, that's where we see who's who. That's where we separate the men from the boys, in a sense. V'zehu odom arishin moshech bor losoy hoyo, odom arishin b'loshen aramis siper, ki ho boho talya, because these two are connected to each other. Ki ikar pigam abris, b'chinas moshech bor losoy, nimshach al yidei loshen aramis, shehu loshen targum, ki she'en ma'alin oisoy l'loshen ha-kodesh kanal. When a person is not misakin and ma'ale, the targum, then that's what makes him open, that's what leaves him wide open, to have Pigam HaBris attack the person. This is why, again, on the sixth day of the week, on Erev Shabbos, is the day in which the Arizal says, Bedavka to say Shnayim Mikra Vecho Targum, because the sixth day of the week corresponds to Yosef, the sixth one of the Sphirois, which represents the union of Yesoid, Tikkun HaBris. Yosef is Bigimatria six times Yudke Vovke. corresponding to the sphere of Yesoi, Tikkun HaBris. That's bedafka the most appropriate time for saying Shnai Mikra Vecho Targum, because that's when this Tikkun really takes place. That's the time where this the sinyan of Rechitzas Mayim Chamin, taking a hot shower specifically, which activates this Shalhuva De'esha Milamala, which separates between the Noiga and the other three Klipois, allowing the Noiga to be Nichlal in the Kiddusha on Shabbos, and forcing the other three klipois to have a mapola. As we say in Kigavna, v'chol dinin misabren mino, that on, when Shabbos comes, all the other dinim, all the klipois that represent din, fall away, they're separated, they're cut off from it. V'chol shultonin, what's the wording? V'chol shultone de dina, umore rugzin, kulu arkin visabru mino, that all the masters of din, representing klipois, tumor, ra, gomor, all of them are cut away, sliced away, and have no kesher with it. Azamer bishpochin, slicing away this ra gomor, not letting it remain attached to the noiga while the noiga is being nichlal in the kedusha. Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos discusses in very elaborate detail why what appears in Targum appears in Targum. Why is it that Kaddish, which is considered one of the highest of all the Tfilos, the Zohar Kodesh uses the wording that Kaddish is so powerful it can break chains of Gzizim de Parzala, chains of steel, such a powerful tefillah, has to be bedafka in Targum, and how that relates to the Nifter, to a person who passed away. There are reasons why it's bedafkala. In other words, why. I honestly don't remember at this moment, but I know that it's discussed. And also Gemara, but Gemara is sort of a mix of Lashon Kodesh and Targum versus the Zohar Kodesh, the secrets of Torah, bedafka, b'Lashon Targum.
And this work is a Tikkun HaTargum in writing those?
Definitely, a billion percent. Again, that Torah Sheba'al Peh, that's what it's called. The Torah Sheba'al Peh is basically Beloshin Aramis. This Tikkun that through the Torah Sheba'al Peh, we effect a Tikkun for the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav represents Loshna Kodesh, Bris Kodesh. The Iker Tikkun for the Torah Shebichsav, not to allow the Klipois to be Yoinek Mimeno, with the Klipois meaning Vigoyim, the 70 nations of the world. They also want to have an Achiza in the Bible, in the Old Testament. How do we sever that? Through our limud of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh is what separates the Torah from this Ra Gomor, from these Klipois that are Tmeis Legamri. And Bedafka, that came about when the Yidden were in Golus, not in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael represents this Kuloi Kodesh. Bovel represents this combination. The Gemara says certain halachas of Maestros and other things where Bovel Surya is considered sort of an in-between area. Certain respects it's like Eretz Yisrael, certain respects not. It represents this intermediary state. The more diburim of kedusha, the more he's misaking the dibur of kedusha.
Does Rabbi Nosson say elsewhere that every time a person goes up in the level of learning, he's tested in each time of Tikkun HaBris?
Yes. He's tested in Tikkun HaBris or he's tested Bechlal. There's a whole new Hizgabrus of the Klipois on that level. Every time a person rises to a new Madrega, the new set of Klipois on that Madrega come out to greet him. The Klipo that's Mesavev, the Peri on that Madrega. And he has to go through a whole brand new battle to be Machnia those Klipois.
So, in other words, what is a person like being tested because his Diborim aren't good enough, therefore he's falling with us, or because he's doing it? Or is he the way there?
True. True. And that's why Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal right, that's one of the mistakes that people fall into, that there are times when a person suffers a yirida because he went up a level. In other words, he gets smashed by the Soton, he gets smacked and sliced and cut and beat up, And he makes the mistake of thinking that this implies that he fell. And he doesn't know that, on the contrary, it's simply that he went up to the next floor. This is not his old Satan, the buddy that he was used to dealing with before. He's on a new floor, he's on a new Madrega, and now it's the Satan on that floor that came out to greet him with all of his armies and everything. And now he has to be Machnia, the Satan, on this new level in order to get to the Pnimius, in order to get to the Kiddush of that level. How does a person know? This is part of a person's own working on himself, to elevate himself to a point to be able to be honest enough with himself to know whether he really fell or whether this is actually a sign of a rise.
Sign
of rising, of going up in Madriga.
Just
go
back to the previous chapter of Mizel, so the Sefer is only as opposed to what?
As opposed to Baal Peh, which is a higher level. Meaning, for example, a person goes to a shir. In other words, Rabbi Nizal is implying here that the Iker Yahadus, the Iker over of Torah from Rebbe to Talmud, is at the shir itself, being present at the time that the Torah is being given over. The fact that a Talmud takes notes at the shir and writes it down for himself, that's only to be able to remember the shir. But what does he want to remember? He doesn't want to remember what's on the piece of paper. He wants to remember exactly how he received it at the time he received it. There are definitely certain things that take place at the time that the shir is being given over in the Kiddush, and the fact that there's a minyan present, you know, the number of people present, the neshamos, all the different things that are coming into play that don't exist in that piece of paper. When he looks over those notes afterwards, that's a much lower level than the actual shir. Or let's say, for example, when we're learning Likutei Moran, when we're learning Rav Nosson Zal's notes or Rabbeinu Zal's notes of the shir that was given by Rabbeinu Zal to his Talmidim at that time, we have to know that in no way in the world does it compare our learning these words from the Sefer to as if we had been present at the time hearing the shir being given live. And an example of this, you have Torah Samech in Likutei Moran, which we're going to have later on, where Rabbeinu Zal gave a shir, and Rav Nosson Zal writes some of the special effects that existed at that shir. That when Rabbeinu Zal was sitting, preparing, he writes that many times when Rabbeinu Zal was giving a shir, he would pause first in the beginning. He was getting himself ready. And Rabbeinu Zal explains some of the things he did. Rabbeinu Zal explains when a person's giving a shir in Torah, he has to be mekasher himself with all the neshamos, so those that are present, in order to make sure that the Torah he's given over is going to be custom tailored to the people that are there. Not that he's speaking to the man on the moon. He wants to speak to the people that are present. In order to do it, he has to make a kesher with the people that are present. Plus other deep kavonos that Rabbeinu Zal had at the time when he did it. So Rav Nosson Zal writes that as Rabbeinu Zal was sitting preparing for that shir, there were a few people present that it suddenly the thought came into that. They reminded themselves of the Gemara with Rabbi Chayni Amagel, where the Gemara says, "Me that Chayni Amagel heard a pasuk, Shir Amalos, B'shuv Hashem Shiva Sion Hayinu Kecholmim, that when we were returning from Bovel, from Golas Bovel, after 70 years having been out of Eretz Yisrael, it felt like a dream. It felt like the 70 years had been a dream. So the question occurred to him, Mi Iked Anayim Ayin Shne? What are you saying 70 years felt like a dream? You know anybody that dreams for 70 years? So Rav Nosson Zal says there were a few people sitting at the shir that started murmuring among each other that they were thinking of this Gemara. Then Rabbeinu Zal opened up and gave the shir. And one of the items he mentioned in the shir was that he said that there are people that are living, people that are eating and sleeping and learning and davening, and they're all of their eating and sleeping and learning and davening is while being asleep. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke there about, notice it looks to them, they think they're awake, they think they're learning and davening, but relative to what this person's neshama is capable of giving out, lahavdil, you have a flashlight that has a battery in it that's almost dead. And you look at it, and you see, you turn it on, a light goes on, and the person says, the flashlight is working. And then somebody says, yo, you think this is a monkey flashlight? This is a real flashlight. Watch this. Let me take out this battery that's almost used up and let me put in a brand new fresh battery. And the person turns it on and sees suddenly the flashlight is giving 10 times as much light as he was seeing before. Rabbeinu Zal said, you have yidden like that are giving off light. They're learning, they're doing mitzvahs, but it's like a battery that's 1/10 or 1/1000th of its real strength. You get the right tzaddik to charge the battery up to full, you'll see this person learning and davening in a way that the person never imagined what learning really is, what davening really is. And Rabbi Nizal said there, what was the statement that he made that they started crying? Ah, he said that there are people who have fallen from all shivim ponim latoyra. Rabbi Nizal said there's a person who falls into a sleep where his sleep represents walking away from one of the paths of Torah. And then he said there are some people who fall to such a low place where they literally have fallen away from all shivim ponim latoyra, where in order to be mechayev them, in order to bring them back, you need to tell them sipurei maisius mishonim kadmoinius. You have to give them like the most powerful dose of kedusha. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that when Rabbi Nizal said these words, that there are people that have fallen from all 70 faces of kedusha, The majority or everybody that was present started crying. Literally, his words penetrated, crashed through each one of them, and literally everybody in the place was crying. Rabbi Nizal had to pause and stop and wait for the crying to simmer down, and then he continued from there. And these are some of the things that Rav Nosson Zal writes that Torah, they felt like they were sitting in the Idra. In the Zohar Kodesh, it says, Rav Shimon Yochai Zal once gave his Talmidim a shir, which lasted 3 days. They didn't sleep for 2 nights in a row. He spoke for approximately 72 hours. A shir, no achila, no shtia, like Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days, 40 nights, and played Malach. They played Malach for 3 days. Rav Nosson Zal writes, when they were listening to this shir, they felt the feeling that's described in the Zohar Kodesh. That's what they experienced. So obviously, we who are learning this generations later, learning it from a sefer, cannot expect that we're getting anywhere near the same voltage, the same wattage, as they got when they heard these shiurim live from Rabbi Nizal. And even the ones that heard from Rav Nosson Zal a generation later, it's assumed that it went down a madrega. Period. True, there is on a different level and in a different way. Completely, there's a concept that when you have students attached to a rabbi, because of the fact that generally students are not on the same level, not generally, always, there's no such thing as two Talmidim being on the same level, and just as by Moshe Rabbeinu we find that he had one closest student that received from him much, much more than the others, where Pnei Moshe Pnei Chama, Pnei Yeshua Pnei Lona, where they said, Oilo Lo Sabusha, Oilo Lo Sechlima, the Zekenim Shabador felt terrible, that they felt that there was a tremendous difference between them and Yehoshua in what they received from Moshe Rabbeinu. We find a similar item throughout the generations, that each one of the tzaddikim had a special Talmud, in a sense. So here, Rav Nosson Zal made a statement which is logical also, that there are certain cases where those people that are attached to the Talmud Mufok of a tzaddik can get to know the original tzaddik better than some of the original tzaddik's own Talmidim, who were so far removed. In other words, their kesher was much less than the Talmud Mufok. There are certain things that the Talmud Mufok could relate to his Talmidim, which the other Talmidim, original Talmidim, wouldn't have known about at all. Period. In other words, on a basic level, on a gashmius level, things that they weren't present to be there to hear. The fact that he was Talmud Mufok, V'yoshua na lo yomish mitoicho oyel, he spent the most time with Moshe Rabbeinu, he watched them closest. And besides it, obviously on higher levels also, because he received the Rishima of the Tzaddik on the highest level, he has a potential of giving certain things over to his Talmidim, the grandchildren, in a sense, of the tzaddik, that some of the children of the tzaddik, some of the tzaddik's own Talmidim, weren't able to receive from him. There is such a concept. But that has nothing to do with this concept of it going down levels. There's a story related to this topic of neshamos. There's a story with Rabbi Nizal that Rabbi Nizal was once walking with his Talmidim, and there were a pack of wild dogs that came running at them. And Rabbi Nizal stopped, and he looked at the dogs, and he waited till they came close, and he said to them, Ich weiß, ich weiß. I know, I know. They were barking wildly, and it looked like they were going to tear them to shreds. And Rabbeinu Zal yelled at them, I know, and they immediately froze, stopped barking, and walked away, period. There was a story years later with Rav Nosson Zal, a similar story. Rav Nosson Zal was walking, and some dogs, wild dogs, came running at him, and Rav Nosson Zal screamed, Ich weiß nicht, I don't know, and the dogs stopped and went away. And I heard recently, Rav Michal mentioned, in explaining this, that what's implied here is obviously Rav Nosson Zal was not on the same madrega as Rabbeinu Zal. And what Rav Nosson Zal was showing the Talmidim present was that even though Rabbeinu Zal said he did know, and I say I don't know, my I don't know, with being attached to the tzaddik, the fact that Rav Nosson Zal was so well attached to his Rebbe, his I don't know could be as effective as Rabbeinu Zal saying, I know. Meaning, not chas v'shalom, they were identical. Rabbeinu Zal was much higher. When a Talmud is properly connected to his rabbi, he could accomplish the same feat, in a sense, as the Rebbe. Because what? Because it's the Rebbe's energy that's flowing through him. You know, period.
What was he saying
that he knew? It seems, from the way it's described, to say he was implying, I know what you're screaming about. I know your problems, and I will fix it. I'll correct it. Or in other words, tzaddikim are misaki neshamos, period. Obviously, Rabbeinu Zal was implying that I know what you're barking about. I know your problem. I know you're this, and it's taken care of. Implying that he didn't know this item to the extent that Rabbeinu Zal did. He didn't know the soid of gilgulei neshamos and other things to the same extent as Rabbeinu Zal did, for sure. And yet his I don't know was able to get them to stop and freeze and walk away, implying that it had the desired effect. They got the message. The Arizal in his Sforim, this I heard from our Rebbe Zichron Levracha, describes certain cases, certain things that a person can say to an animal or look at an animal to be able to identify what type of neshama is in there, what it needs for its tikkun. And he once mentioned that there are certain things that you could say, for example, to a lion, to get the lion very, very excited. And it's, in terms of, again, this is obviously not for us. Excuse me? I once heard it from somebody. I don't know if I don't remember exactly where. I once heard mention of this fact that there are an extraordinary amount of cats found in Eretz Yisrael, especially in Yerushalayim, and that it has to do with Gilgulim of the Neshamos of the Mitzrim. I don't know, I honestly don't remember exactly where I heard from it. I don't know the validity of it. But you can be sure, I was learning Hilcha Shechita in Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal talks about behemos, and Rav Nosson Zal says very emphatically and very clearly, quoting the Arizal, that the majority, the very vast majority of animals, definitely have in them neshamos of people who require a tikkun, and that's why these animals are here, and that's why we're so particular in the rules of how these animals are to be killed, in order to effect the proper tikkun. Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain the laws of slaughtering animals. Kisui adam, why by a chayo there is kisui adam, why behema there's no kisui. All the different particulars of how the Torah teaches us to deal with animals in order to effect their tikkun, how that applies to the tshuva for the neshama of a person. In other words, implying what particular tshuva it relates to. How did we get so far off track? Who knows? Off track, on track. Let's see if we could just do it a little bit more. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Oisei devoroi." Rav Nosson Zal quoting one of the statements that was made earlier in the chapter on the Likutei Moran, "Oisei devoroi lishmoya bekoil devoroi." Shehatzadik oisei hadibur kanal. The tzadik makes the dibur of Hashem kaviyochel. Ukeshehaloshna kodesh bo milamalo adayin hu choser tikkun. Kaviyochel, when the Loshna Kodesh, when Hashem speaks Beloshna Kodesh, that Loshna Kodesh is lacking Shleimus in a sense. Ki adayin tzorech lehalois hatoiv min atargum. Because there still is this necessity of being male, the toiv of Targum, in order to bring a Shleimus to the deeper of Loshna Kodesh. Rabbi Nosson Zal says now, Vizehu Soid Kavonas Mila. This is the secret that the Arizal explains behind the mitzvah of Mila, exactly how it's done. Ukamay Shemuva Bemedrish, as the Medrish says, Shaila Saminen al mitzvah Mila, that the Apikorsim asked the rabbis of the Gemara about the mitzvah of Mila. Eich Yivra Kodesh Baruch Hu Dovra Mechusar Tikkun. The fact that we give a child a bris mila when it's 8 days old seems to imply that Hashem didn't finish the job and we're finishing the job. Hashem sent something in the world that was Choser Tikkun, Choser Shleimus, and we're fixing what Hashem did. We're fixing it up to make it good. And the Rabbein Azal says, Hainu Kanal, this Achual Kavonazu, this relates to what we discussed in this Torah Likutei Moran, Hainu Kanal, as we saw earlier. Shehaloshen HaKodesh, Shehu Bechinas Tikkun HaBris, Habo Milamala, the Loshen Kodesh, which comes from above, which corresponds to this concept of Bris Kodesh, Huadayin Choser Tikkun. It's lacking in Shleimus. Ve'ikar tikunoi lemato bozeh ho'ilam. And the main tikkun of the Loshon Kodesh is bedafka in this world, below. Al yidei she'onu malin hatoiv shebetargum u'mashlim emes haloshon kodesh. Through us learning the limud of Torah shebal peh, being male, this toiv shebetargum, sorting out the good from the bad, the toiv from the ra, the kosher from the posel, the tomei from the tohar, the osur from the mutar, through sorting this whole thing out, umashlim emes haloshon hakodesh, umashlim the loshon hakodesh, ki ikra tikkun shel kol hadvorim nishlam lemato bozeh ho'ilam daiko, because that's how Hashem wanted it. Yes, Hashem did create the world incomplete, and He wanted bedafka that we, the human beings, we, the yidden, should have the privilege of being mashlim the bria of Hashem. We say it in the Kiddush Friday night. Asher boro Elohim la'asois. Hashem created to create, to make. Who's the la'asois? The la'asois goes on us, that Hashem has given Am Yisrael the privilege of being shutfim b'maisa bereishis. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes the pasuk v'leimor litzion amiato. Hashem says to the Am Yisrael, you are my people. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Al Tikri, Ami Elohimi, you are with me. Ma'ano, Hashem says, just as I create Shomayim Voretz B'miluli, with my Dibur, so too B'nai Yisrael have the koyach to create La'asois with their Dibur. Which Dibur? The Dibur of Loshon Kodesh. The Shulah HaKadosh says that when Hashem created the world, Hashem created the 6 days. The pasuk says, "Ki sheishes yomim oso Hashem es hashamayim vesoretz." So the Shulah HaKadosh quotes, there's a question that the Zohar HaKadosh asks. The Zohar HaKadosh says, if you know your Hebrew, it should have said, "Ki bisheishes yomim." In 6 days, Hashem created. You don't say, because 6 days Hashem created heaven and earth. It should say, in 6 days, Hashem created, ki bisheshes yomim. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, wrong. The pasuk is talking about two creations. Creation number one, sheshes yomim also. Hashem created 6 days. And also es hashamayim v'oretz. And He created shamayim v'oretz. So the Shulah HaKadosh asks, if that's the case, Where did the next 6 days come from? If all Hashem created were the first 6 days, where did Shabbos come from? Where did the next 6 days come from? And the Shulah HaKadosh explains that it's through our Shmiras Shabbos, through our Dibur of Kedusha, that the Dibur on Shabbos should not be like the Dibur of the Yemei HaChol. It's the Dibur, the Kedusha of Shabbos, that creates the next 6 days. Every single Shabbos, the Jews that are Shomer Shabbos, literally create the next 6 days. All Hashem created was the first 6 days, period. That's it. Sheshes yomim osa Hashem. No more than that. Where do the next days come from? They are a bria. From Shabbos is created the next 6 days. Each Shabbos. What's the ikar tikkun on Shabbos? The dibur. That the vedaber dovor, that the diburim of Shabbos should not be like the dibur of the Yemei HaChol. This tikkun of this shnayim mikra vecha targum, that's mekusher to Shabbos. This is the concept of Shleimus Loshon HaKodesh through Targum. even though Lashon Kodesh comes from heaven, from Hashem Kaviyochol, afal pikein ein lo yishleimus kim al yidei Lashon Targum. Kaviyochol, Hashem made it in such a way that the Lashon Kodesh is not complete until it gets its tikkun from Lashon Targum. Just like the Am Yisrael is not complete until a certain number of Gerim come and are mistarif to Bnei Yisrael. The concept of Ein Mekablin Gerim Limoisa Moshiach, meaning that it's before Moshiach come that this mispar of Gerim, this Klipas Noiga, will have to have its tikkun completely in order for the Am Yisrael, this Am HaKadosh, to receive its Shleimus. Its Shleimus is totally in this tikkun of the Klipas Noiga, this tikkun of Targum. Shehu bechinas eitz hadas toiv ora, dahainu al yedei shemavarin hatoiv shebetargum, hatoiv shebeitz hadas, shalidei ze daiko nishlam aloshen koedish. It's bedafka by being misakin and mala, the toiv shebetargum, and this toiv within the eitz hadas, toiv ora, that's how we'll be able to affect the major tikkun. Vezeu bechinas mashem bavur sham bemedrash hatiritz al shaila saminim anal binyan mitzvah samila. This is the answer that the medrash gives over there to the question of these apikursim, where the answer ech yivra kodesh baruch hu mechuser tikkun anal, that how is it that Hashem created man choser tikkun without a bris mila? If Hashem wanted a Jew to have a bris, He would have created him that way. So the medrash answers she shivu sham. Kol davar tzorich tikkun. Man isn't the only thing that Hashem made chosar tikkun. Hashem made the whole world chosar tikkun. Haturmosin tzrichen levashel, vegetables, corn. It grows straight from the ground. You eat it like you eat it raw? No, you have to cook it. And other things, wheat. You have to grind it and separate the chaff from the kernel. Grind it and mix it with water and fire. All kinds of things to be mashlim it. The Medrash says, so too, just as Hashem created all of those objects choser tikkun, He also created man choser tikkun. Hainu kanal, this is as we explained earlier. Shashem yizborach boro kol habriya bishvil ha'odom habal b'chira. Hashem made the whole world bedafka for the sake of man, for the sake of this bal b'chira, this person who has free choice to choose between this good and bad, this toivora, this noiga. How shehu daiko yisakin kol advorim, that it's bedafka odom that will bring a tikkun, a shleimus to everything. How al yedei birur hatoiv Shebeit Sadas, through the birur of the toiv from the Eitz Hadas, shaydeze mashlim umesaken kol hadvorim sheboilom, vialkein tzrichen lesaken tikkun amila. This is the concept of the tikkun amila that a Jew has to make. Shezeu bechinas tikkun abris boze ho'olam daiko. This is why this could not take place in heaven. This tikkun has to take place dafke in this world. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, this is why the bris mila takes place on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? After the person has lived a full life in this world. What's considered a full cycle in this world? 7 days. Once you're totally grounded in this world, now you're ready to be masakin. Now what you do, now if you have a bris done to you, it's going to bring a shleimus to the world. Literally, bring a tikkun to the whole world. Shezeu bechinas shleimus loshna kodesh ha'idei targum daiko. Shaloshna kodesh habo milmalo ein lo shleimus kishabo milmalo. The loshen kodesh, as it comes directly from Hashem, does not have shleimus. Kiim al yedei shanachnu mashlim emoisoy al yedei shemavarem atoyu shebetargum sheoz daiko nishlam aloshna kodesh kanal. That's the ikar tikkun of Am Yisrael, this limud of Torah shebal peh. It's through our emphasis and stress of the limud of Torah Shebal Peh, this birur of the Mishnah and the Gemara, this whole limud of Targum, and especially the secrets of Torah, which are in total Aramis, the Zohar HaKodesh, this is what brings the Shleimus to Loshen HaKodesh, to the Torah Shebichsav. Vezehu Chashmal. Chashmal. The Arizal, when he talks about the Soid Kavona Samila, he explains that it's tied into the Mare Yecheskel, the vision that Yecheskel Anovi saw, where he saw this light of Chashmal, and it was surrounded by the Onon Godoil, the Esh Mislakachas, the Ruach Sora, those items. Rabbi Nezal says now, Chashmal Bechinas Mila. That, the Arizal says, is Marames for the mitzvah of Mila. Umal Bigimatria Shivim. The word mal of that word is Bigimatria 70. Bechino is Madura Shel Shivim Koichovim Kanal. It represents that furnace of 70 stars that we quoted earlier, referring to that Taivo HaKoilel of Taiva Sniuf. Mal also means to crush. We crush that madura shel shivim koychovim through the mitzvah of milah. Shubachinas tikkun abris. Ayin bekavonos v'hovein. Now, based on this chapter on Likutei Moran, if you look in the kavonos of the Arizal, if you'll see how the Arizal explains this mitzvah, now it'll make sense to you. You'll understand how his Kabbalistic explanation of the mitzvah of Mila, how it ties into what we explained here. Halavai, we should be zecher to get to a level where we could learn those kavonos and we'll be able to understand what's written here further, on a deeper level. At this rate, we're going to finish this in a few years. I thought last week we were going to finish. I thought tonight we're going to finish. What is Chashmi?